We continue our learning. We're in Avodah Zarah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud. Nachri shenimtza omed b'tzad habor shel yayin. He have a case where the cistern of wine belongs to, and the wine belongs to the Jew, and a non-Jew is standing next to that bor of yayin. So do we have to be concerned that the non-Jew is touching the wine, and we have to be concerned with yayin nesech? So the Mishnah says, im yesh lo olav milve asur. If he has upon this a milveh, milveh means a loan. So what are we talking about? The Gemara says like this. We're talking about where the Jew borrowed money from the non-Jew. And he said, usually when we talk about a lien on someone because of a loan that he has, we usually talk about property. But here, the case was the Jew said to the non-Jew, if I don't pay you back, so there's a lien on my wine. My wine will belong to you if I default on the loan. So here, because there's a milveh, there's a loan, there's a lien upon the wine that belongs to the Jew in order to pay back the non-Jew if the Jew defaults on the loan, so says the Mishnah Usur, that wine is going to be Usur Bahana, since the debt has, there's the shibud, there's this lien to pay back the debt on this wine. We're afraid maybe the non-Jew touched the wine to see what it's like, to see its quality, and made it Yayin Nesech. He feels he has the right to touch it, because it potentially would belong to him if the Jew defaults on the loan. But ain lo olav milveh, but if the yain is not meshubah to the non-Jew as a debt, so then mutter. So then the fact that the nachri happens to be standing next to the wine has no relevance at all. The wine is mutter to drink. We're not afraid that the non-Jew touched it. He has nothing to do with this wine. The fact that he walked into the wine press without any rishus, that already is a problem. But he's certainly afraid to touch the wine. Nafal labor, let's say the non-Jew fell into the cistern. He slipped and then he fell into the bor of yayin. The yayin belongs to Yisrael, va'ala, and he came up. So do we have to be concerned the non-Jew just fell in fell into the wine? So do we have to be concerned that, well, non-Jew, his body touched the wine, it should be yayin esech? So the Gemara says we're speaking about a case where the non-Jew fell in and he drowned, where he died. And had he been alive, then it would be a problem of yayin esech. We're going to, the Mishnah is going to say that in all of these cases, this is not going to be a problem of Hana. It's Mutar B'Hana. We'll talk about the fact that it's Asur B'Shusia, but it'll be Mutar B'Hana. So the only case could be Mutar B'Hana would be where the non-Jew had died. Why? Because if he survived, he came out of the cistern alive, we're afraid that maybe as he came up, he thanked his Avodah Zarah that he was sold, that he was saved, and it became Yayin Esech. So therefore, the Yayin would be Asur B'Hana. So when do we say that the Yayin is not Asur B'Hana? When the Goy falls into the cistern, that's only when va'ala he came up, but he came up dead. Had he come up alive, they would be Asur B'Hana. So this is the first on this list of those that are Mutar B'Hana. The next on the list is Umidado Bakanel. Let's say you have a non-Jew who took us a reed, and he wanted to check the depth of the wine, how much wine there is in the cistern. So he touched it he put the reed in, and he had didn't kavana to touch the wine for any purpose, just wanted to measure, or he teases Hatsira Bakanel. There was a hornet inside, and he flicked it out. He used the reed to flick it out. He didn't have in mind to touch the wine with his hand, whatever it is. He just wanted to get rid of the hornet. Oshaya mitapeach al pi chavis merusachas. Or let's say that it was foaming on top. So he just wanted to lower the foam, and he touched it in order to that it lower itself or to remove it, let's say. So maybe in this case he touched the wine itself. This is still not what we call derech nisuch. Even if he touched it with his hands, it should be just getting rid of the foam is not a problem. Now we don't have to be concerned that he was menasech, and therefore b'chol elu says the Mishnah. All of these cases where he fell into the bor and came up dead, or he was measuring it with the reed, or he flicked out a hornet with the reed, or he was even with his hand, but he touched the foam on top to remove it. B'chol elu haya maise, such a all of these cases came up, lahalacha lamaisa, and they asked the chachamim what to do, va'amru, and they said, yimacher, the wine should be sold, or rather can be sold to a non-Jew, which means we don't treat it like yayin esech, that's asur b'hana, we say it's mutar b'hana. Right? The only thing is, you shouldn't drink it, so that's what it means, yimacher, you can get hana from it, we're not afraid of yayin esech, we should be strict, though, that we shouldn't drink it. Rabbi Shimon Matir, although we don't follow Rabbi Shimon in the minority opinion, he believes you can even drink this wine, and it's not only mutter bahana, you don't have to sell it to an adjur, you can drink it yourself. Then the Mishnah says, Natalesa Chavis Uzraka Bahamaso Labor. He had a case where the non-Jew was really angry. He took a barrel, an empty barrel, and threw it at it because he lost his temper and threw it into the cistern. So here you have a non-Jew who touched the chavis, touched the barrel, and he threw it into the boar. So what should we say here? Zehaya Maisa, in fact, such a case happened like that. And Vihichshiu and the Chachamim said the wine is not only mutter, it's even a mutter b'shusia. What do we have to worry about here? He took a barrel, threw it into the void. He didn't touch the wine. The fact that he touched the barrel, which touched the wine, but he threw it in because he was angry. The Rambam happens to rule that this is only mutter b'hana, but it's also b'shusia. And the Ravid critiques him on that, and he writes zeshibush. He finds this very, very difficult. It's a distortion of the halacha. And even the Nosei Kelim on the Rambam wonder why the Rambam would possibly say that in this case where a non-Jew, when he lost his temper out of anger, threw a barrel into the wine, why that should be asur b'shusia, it should be completely mutter. Perek Dalet Mishnah Yud Aleph. Hamitahir Yeno Shel Nachri. Here you have a Yisrael who was pressing the grapes of a non-Jew and made sure to do it completely bekashrus, betara, in purity, so that wine could be sold to a Yisrael. This is the wine of a non-Jew, but the wine of a non-Jew is not, we don't say, assume it's not kosher, as long as the Jew is there, making sure that everything was taken care of. V'nosno birishuso, and what did he do? He placed the barrels of wine in the reshus of the non-Jew. So we want to know, so it was prepared betara, the Jew was present, he placed it in the reshus. Now the barrels are filled with that wine that were pressed betara, and now he places them in the non-Jew's reshus. So do we have to be concerned at this point that this is a problem of the Ayin Esech? Bivayis ha-pasuach l'reshus harabim, if the house of the non-Jew is open up to the public, people can look in and see what's going on in the house. So then, Be'ir Sheyesh Bogoyim Yisraelim Mutter. If it's a city where there are Jews and non-Jews both in that city, and as we said, the house is opened up to Rishus Harabim, then Mutter, then the wine is permitted. Why? Because the non-Jew wants the wine, it's his wine, he wants it sold, he wants to make money. So he's afraid to touch the barrels of this wine of his, because he's afraid of Yisrael is going to see it, and now he's not going to buy it. He's prohibited anyway, and he'll never buy it from him. And he'll lose out on his customers, on his Jewish customers. So this is true. Sounds like you need two criteria. You need, number one, the house has to be open to Rishus HaRabim, and number two, the city has to have not only non-Jews, but Jews as well. But, says the Mishnah, Be'ir Shekula Goyim, but if it's a city where it's all non-Jews, so obviously he's not afraid, and the same thing would be true even if the city had Jews and non-Jews and Jews, but the house wasn't open up to Rishus HaRabim, then the wine is prohibited, because we're afraid the guy touched it and made a Yayin Esek. He's not afraid maybe a Jew is going to see him. Why? Either because, even though there may be Jews in the city, it's not open to Rishus HaRabim, or maybe even though it's open to Rishus HaRabim, no Jews in the city. So that's why it will be Asur Ad Sheyoshev Shomer, unless he appoints a Shomer, someone who's going to guard that, a Mashgiach, who's going to watch the wine. And it says the Mishnah Vena Shomer Tzarech Lios Yoshev Mishamer. It says the Mishnah, it's not like this Shomer has to sit there the whole time to watch the wine to make sure the non-Jew doesn't touch these barrels. But rather, afal pisha yotze v'nichnas is the source of this idea. He doesn't have to be there the whole time. He can be going out and in. And then it's still mutter, because the non-Jew was afraid to touch the wine. Maybe the shomer could walk in at any moment. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ko Rishus Goyim Achas Hi. All the domain of the non-Jews is all one. So it sounds like he's arguing with the Tanna Kamma, but not exactly clear what Rabbi Shimon is saying. So the Gemara says that the Tanna Kamma that we mentioned before believes that when we speak about having a shomer sitting there in, let's say, a city where do you need a shomer? Either where the house could be open, but the city is completely non-Jews, or the house, or it's Jews and non-Jews in the city, but the house is not open to Rishus HaRabim. So in the case where you need a shomer, the Tana Kama holds that this shomer is required only if the wine was placed in the reshus of this guy who owned the wine to begin with. This all started with this story where you had a Jew who was helping making sure the non-Jew's wine was prepared batara. And now it's in barrels, and now it's in the non-Jew's house. So if it's in the same non-Jew's house as the owner who was the owner of the wine, then you need this shomer in these situations. But if he put the wine in the reshus of another non-Jew who's not the owner of the wine, so even if the city has complete is all non-Jews, and you don't need a shomer, and the wine is mutter. Why? Because that other non-Jew, he has no, he doesn't care what happens with his wine. He's not going to lose any customers since he's not making money on this anyway. So he wouldn't have be so brazen to come over to the wine and touch it, understanding what would potentially happen. Why would he care? Basically, what the Tana Kama is saying is that we don't have this non-Jew has nothing to do with the wine. So to say he's going to come over and touch the wine, what is it? It's being sold. He doesn't really care to touch it or not touch it. The guy who owns the wine, we're afraid he may come up to the barrel. He may touch the wine, whatever it may be, to see what it is. The quality is going to be selling it soon. But if he's afraid he's going to lose Jewish customers, there's a shomer there. So we have to send. So then we don't have to worry about it. But the one who doesn't own the wine, we have to worry. Sitting there, you don't need a shomer to make sure he doesn't touch the wine. Why would he touch the wine? It's not his wine anyway. So that is what the Tana Kama holds. When Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says Kol Rishus Goyim Achasi, all the Rishuyos of non-Jews are the same, he's coming to teach us that he argues with the Tana Kama. Means there's no difference between the Rishus of a guy who is the owner of the wine to Rishus of another non-Jew who's not the owner of the wine. Kol Rishus Goyim Achasi, and therefore even if the wine was given to another non-Jew who has nothing to do with the wine, it's like the wine was placed in the hands, in the domain of the owner of the wine itself, and therefore you want the wine to be mutter, so then you need both criteria. You need the criteria of where the city is, have Jews and non-Jews together, and the house is open to Rishus HaRabim. If the house is not open to Rishus HaRabim, or it's a city that's completely non-Jews, even if the house is open, the wine is going to be usher until you have a shomer. The Gemara in Daf Samach Aleph discusses an additional thing, and that is what we call a chosam, or a double chosam, maftech v'chosam, a double seal. Which is, do we have to be concerned that the non-Jew, even if something is sealed, the non-Jew may be tampering with it? So if it's sealed, maybe I don't have to worry. Maybe if it's in the non-Jew's house and it's not open to Rishus HaRabim, the only non-Jews in the city, maybe I don't have to worry about the wine if it was completely sealed or had a double seal. So the answer is no. We maybe have to be concerned that if it's sitting in the non-Jew's house, so he has plenty of time to deal with this wine. He can replace the double seal easily, and no one will even know it. So that's why we're saying, even if you have a double seal, the wine is only permitted if that area where it's being stored in the non-Jew's house is open up to Rishus HaRabim. So there's some discussion about that. Others believe that no, if one seal is sufficient. If you have one seal and opens up to Rishus HaRabim, so people can see, so one seal is enough. If you have two seals, then the wine will be permitted all the time in any circumstance, because two seals is as if you have a shomer there.